So what you need to know is that Mary has just received the word that will change her life forever. Last Sunday, we talked about the meaning of the word repentance. We talked about repentance is to stop, to turn around, and to go a different direction. If that is what repentance is, then Mary is in the midst of repentance. She has stopped. She has turned around. She is walking in a different direction. Mary has just heard the word of the Lord through the angel who has told her that she is going to give birth to a son. She is highly favored. Her son is not going to be just any son. Her son is going to be a king. Her son is going to be a king whose reign will never end. You remember, Mary has asked, "How can this be? I am a virgin." The angel has said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and will overcome you. You will give birth to a son. He will be Emmanuel, God with us." That is the setting of the story that Nancy just read for us. Mary has just heard the news that will change her life forever. She has gotten up and she has scurried away into the hill country of Judea, away to be with Elizabeth, her older relative. Elizabeth is also with child. Elizabeth is with child extraordinarily because she is beyond the age of bearing children. She is 6 months with child. The two of them are meeting one another now, and the child within Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, leaps for joy at the presence of the child who is within Mary's womb, Jesus. This is the setting of this moment when Mary lifts her praise. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." I need to tell you something. Mary is our mentor in the way of praise. Mary is, and that's saying something. You see, Mary is probably, at the time of this text of Scripture, Mary is probably somewhere around 15 years old. We know that because that is the age at which Jewish girls typically would become betrothed to be married. Mary is probably somewhere around 15 years of age, and I got to tell you, the 15-year-old is teaching the adults how to worship. I'm going to step out on a limb here. I don't think there were very many people who praised the way Mary praised this particular day. I'm not saying that just because the words are beautiful, though they are, and I'm not saying that because she sang them beautifully. We don't know even if she sang. All we know is the words that she spoke, these glorious words that Mary spoke on this particular day. I think Mary was praising in an uncommon way because of the times in which she lived. You see, many people in this time in which Mary lived, many of the theologians, the official thinkers on behalf of the religious institution, had come to believe that Israel, that God was no longer speaking prophetically to God's people any longer. Many of them had come to believe that the age of prophecy had ceased with the last of the biblical prophets, Malachi, and that now the task of God's people was to remember what God had said to them before. God had said something, but God isn't saying something. Do you hear what I'm saying? Many of them had come to believe that the age of prophecy had come to an end, which I suppose that makes Israel a non-profit organization. And if God is no longer speaking through prophets to the people, then God is no longer acting. You see, when God speaks, God acts by speaking. And when God acts, God acts. God's speaking is action. And if God is no longer speaking in the present tense, then God is no longer acting in the present tense. And so the task of religion, much of it in the time of Mary, is to remember what God has done to help people to be set in faithful ways. That's good in as far as it goes. But if God has acted in the past but not acting in the present, well, that's not much of a cause for praise. I suspect Mary was praising in a way that was different than others of her time. There's another reason I think that too, though. You see, for all intents and purposes, the people of Israel are in exile at the time of this occasion. Not literally, you understand. You see, exile is to be forced away from your home. You're in exile when you love Michigan, but you have to live in Indiana. That's exile. The people of Israel, the Jewish people, are not literally in exile. They live in Palestine. They live in their native home. but in no way are they really at home. They're not rulers of their own place. Every time they look around, they notice that the Roman soldiers are about them and that Roman authority is ruling around them and that rules and regulations and laws other than their own are operative in this place. And there are constantly reminders that they are not in charge. And so this is the state of Mary and the Jewish people as these events begin to transpire in the book of Luke. I think Mary was praising in an uncommon way. In fact, I want to say you rarely hear anyone praise like Mary. And that's the problem. I don't mean to suggest, not even for a second, that the praise of this church is not authentic. I have found it to be deliciously and gloriously so. In fact, it's not even to say that the praise around the country that's taking place this morning isn't extraordinarily real and honest. And all around the world, people gathering on the fourth Sunday of Advent who are worshiping together, all around the world there is praise that is taking place that is extraordinarily authentic and good. I suppose that there are some exceptions. There are probably some people who are coming to worship and they're going through the motions. They look like they were sucking on jalapeno peppers a few minutes ago. Or maybe their faces are so stony cold that if they smile, their nose is going to fall off. I suppose there are a few of those places. But not really that much in my experience. My experience has been when God's people gather, certainly in this church, it is in earnest and it is real. But I still need to say, you haven't heard people praise like Mary very often. And here's why. Mary praises as though the victory of God that is announced through Jesus has already happened. Did you notice the words of her praise? Listen to them carefully once again. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Now listen, lean forward, listen carefully. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever and ever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary is praising God in light of the victory that God is going to win through Jesus, even though it hasn't happened yet. By the way, did you notice how radical these words are? He has brought down the rulers from their thrones while he has lifted up the humble. The thing is, it hasn't happened yet. If Mary runs to her window and she cleans off her window and she looks down the way, she's going to notice that there is a Roman soldier somewhere down the way who is standing there as a marker of the power of Rome. And that Roman soldier answers to another Roman soldier who answers to another Roman soldier who answers to another one. And there is a line of command that goes back to Caesar Augustus, who is the most powerful man in all of the world. And if Caesar Augustus were to get the word that someone is announcing that rulers are being brought down from their thrones while the humble are being lifted up, Caesar Augustus is going to go ballistic. I'm not kidding you. A little closer to home. Just bring her back a little bit closer to home. There is this pathetic fellow who lives in Jerusalem by the name of Herod. He is a pathetic character. Herod is Jewish in name, by descendant. Herod is Jewish, but Herod is a vassal of the Roman emperor. Herod does whatever the emperor tells him to do. Herod will do, we know this, Herod will do anything that it takes to stay in power, anything. And here's Mary singing. He's brought down the rulers from their thrones, and he has lifted up the humble, and she's doing it as though it's already happened. You see, these are revolutionary words. This is dangerous praise that Mary is performing on this particular occasion. Karl Barth, the famous Swiss theologian, once said that to fold the hands in prayer is to participate in the beginning of a revolution against the powers of disorder in the world. Switch the word prayer to praise, and that's what Mary is doing this morning. To praise the living God is to participate in a rebellion against the powers of disorder at work in this world, looking forward to that time when God will conquer all and in all and in all, and God's reign will rule. See, this is dangerous praise that Mary is practicing on this particular occasion. She's announcing a transformation that is going to take place in our world. And any time the people of God praise with Mary, they too are participating in the beginning of a revolution of love. I think you know the story, but we can't go through the Christmas season without remembering it. I think you know the story of what is soon going to transpire. Very, very soon after this, Mary and Joseph are going to travel from Nazareth. They're going to go down to Bethlehem, where there's not going to be any room for them in the inn. And so Mary is going to give birth to Jesus in a stable. She's going to lay him in a manger, which is the feeding trough for the animals. Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. According to the Gospel of Matthew, the family is going to have to flee Bethlehem. They're going to have to go down to Egypt because Herod, remember Herod? We were just talking about Herod just a few minutes ago. Herod is so overwhelmed with fear and insecurity and anger at the announcement that a king has been born that Herod has created an edict to kill all of the small children in the kingdom. Joseph and Mary go away to Egypt where they can be safe, and then when the time is right, they come back from Egypt. They go back up to Nazareth where Jesus will grow up. We don't know very much about what takes place over the next 30 years, just little teeny tiny snippets. What we do know is that Jesus grows up in Galilee, and as you've heard me say before, that's significant. This is not the center of power. Galilee is the land where the people who don't own land live. The tenant farmers work in Galilee. The land is owned by people from Judea. The tenant farmers work this land up in Galilee. These are poor, poor people. These are uneducated people. This is where Jesus grows up and lives. He learns the carpentry trade from Joseph. Somewhere around 30 years of age, we know that Jesus begins to preach. And don't you think all the while Mary was sitting back wondering, I wonder when it's going to happen. Somewhere around 30. Jesus begins to preach. His message is, the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn around and join your lives to the good news. The time of the inbreaking of the reign of God has arrived. Turn around, join your lives to this good news. He doesn't just preach a message, though. And you have to think Mary is observing every moment of all of this. Jesus doesn't just preach a message. His word is his action, and his action is his word. He proclaims the coming of the kingdom of God, and then, that we may have no doubts whatsoever, what happens when God reigns? Jesus heals the sick. He announces good news to the poor. He proclaims release to the captives. Jesus casts out the power of demonic spirits. This, friends, is what it looks like when God reigns. And you have to think, Mary is standing back observing all of these things that are taking place, things that had been announced about her son before she even hardly knew what they could have meant. There will be that day when Jesus, according to the Gospel of John, will say something extraordinary and remarkable. Jesus, whose whole life is as transparent to the reign of God as a perfect window is transparent to sunshine. And then there will come that day when Jesus will say, whoever has seen me has seen my Father. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. He is utterly and perfectly transparent to the reign of God at work in the world. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. And that's significant. Because Mary would be standing by on the day when Jesus would, or at least she would overhear about the day when Jesus would stoop down and he would wash the feet of all of his disciples. And he would say, now, if I, your Lord and your teacher, do this for you, you ought to do it with one another. Mary will overhear the occasions when Jesus will say, you know how the rulers of the world rule this way? It won't be so about you. It will be with you. It will be people who rule this way, by service, by love. You see, his life is absolutely, perfectly, through and through consistent in the way that he leads, in the sort of power that he uses, always, without exception, it is love. And it is love, be clear, that Mary will observe. When Jesus goes to a hill called Golgotha, just outside of Jerusalem, and where Jesus will be nailed to a cross, and he will breathe his last, and he will bear the entire weight of all of the world's sin, Mary will be watching from a distance. And Mary will be one of the first to know that on the third day Jesus has been raised from the dead. Mary will be one of the first to know that the promise that Jesus had given, that there had been one advent and there's going to now be a second advent because he's going to return, and at the time that he returns, he's going to finish everything that he started when he came in the first place. This reign of God that he came announcing, the healing of the sick, the caring for the poor, the ministering to the least of this reign of God, casting out demonic spirits and overcoming evil wherever he went, in resurrection once and for all, the disciples, the followers, and Mary know that what Jesus had come to start, he's going to come again to finish. There will be a day once again when he will step back into this world, and on that day, the book of Revelation says, and that day a new Jerusalem will descend from earth to heaven. The will of God will be done all and in all and in all and in all. And you see, this is why Mary is our mentor in praise. Because Mary praises God as though all of this has already happened. Karl Barth was right. Mary was right. When you clasp your hands in prayer, when you lift your voice in praise, you are participating in a revolution. And what must be clear is that it is a revolution of love. It is a revolution that looks like Jesus because God has acted in Jesus. But God is acting in Jesus, and God will act in Jesus. Do you hear how different that is than the world in which Mary lived? God had spoken, God is speaking, and God will speak, and God had brought about his purposes, and God is bringing about his purposes, and God will bring about his purposes. And friends, when we lift our voices in prayer, we are joining Mary's song as though all of this has already happened. Because the Word of God is true, and the Word of God is powerful. And the Word of God in Jesus promises a second advent in which he will bring God's purposes to their complete completion. A friend of mine was telling me about a story that he read recently about a cafe in France. We all know the terrible story of the events that took place in France just a few weeks ago, how this horrible day, there were explosions that took place in several places in France. One of those explosions took place in a cafe. It shut them down. It killed some people. It shut down their business for a season. Well, the cafe owner decided as quickly as possible that they wanted to get the cafe up and running again, and so they fixed the things that had been broken, and they did the work that needed to be done, and they got the cafe set back up, and they announced the evening that they would start again. This friend of mine was telling me that they interviewed people who showed up the night that they opened the cafe back up. You can imagine how frightening it would be. The anxiety, the tension that is just in the air because of the events that had taken place, and you can imagine how anxious they were. But people came and they sat down at this Parisian shop, and they had their dinners together, and they drank. Did they drink coffee in France? I don't know. Whatever it is they drink in France, they gathered together around these tables. And then a journalist came along and interviewed some of them. And my friend said, the summation of these interviews was something like this. People would say, yeah, it's scary to come out again, really scary. But we decided that we needed to come out and be together. We needed to come out and have human company and fellowship with one another. And we needed to eat and drink together the way human people do in healthy and wholesome environments. And we needed to do this as a protest against the power of death that's been working in our community. Do you hear? We do this as a protest against the powers of death that are at work within our community. And that's what happens when we praise. And that's why we can't separate praise from action. That's why we lift our voices in praise to the God who's creating a quiet revolution, a revolution of love. And then we step out and we notice the people in our community. We can't praise God without being aware of the people in our community who are the poor and the blind and the crippled and the lame, those whom Jesus spent his time with. We can't praise God without recognizing those people in our community that Jesus was attracted to like children to laughter. We can't praise God without moving out in action. That is the most natural thing in the world, because when we praise, we are joining a revolution of love. And so I need to ask you, are you ready to let Mary be your mentor in praise? Are you? Are you ready to join your voice in lifting up and magnifying God? Are you? All right then, let's do it.